Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a pastor. I'm executive director of Christian Home Educators of Colorado. But the reason I'm with you today, I'm a father of five: Daniel, Emily, Rebecca, Joy, Bethany, and Abigail, my children. And we are coming to you at a period of time in American history where 36.4% of children are born without fathers. That's up from 5% just 40 years ago. A time when 64% of children under 6 are now latchkey children, up from 5% 80 years ago. The family is disintegrating. These statistics have got to break your heart. In fact, a recent book from Mary Eberhardt, Home Alone America, she states that out of the 18.9 million new STD cases every year, about 9.1 million, about half of them, were found in people between ages 15 and 24. Her conclusion is that children who are home alone, 91% of them are having sex in a home setting, usually after school when parents aren't around. Parents are gone. The purpose of this program is very simple. Our mission is this. We are simply asking fathers and mothers to love their children and to love God. It's a very simple mission. But we feel there are very few parents today that are loving their children as they ought to. Well, in the public schools are the safest place to be department. Here's a story that just came in last night. A 15-year-old honor student out in Wales was attacked by a gang of her girl classmates. There's a picture here from the web story. She's bruised, her eyelid is split open, her eyes are swollen. Incredible. And I've asked this question before, and I'm asking it again. It's the most obvious question in the world. Why would a father ever send his little girl into an environment which is more dangerous than the environment in which he works? Why would a father who loves his children, why would a father who loves his little girl send his little girl into an environment far more dangerous, where there are far more arrests, there are far more people being beat up, than the environment in which he works? Why would a father in his right mind, who loves his daughter, do something like that? The comment from the girl's mother here in this story is precious. She says, quote, "The school have been very good, and I'm sure they will do all they can to protect my daughter." Well, it could be that the school loves this little girl more than her mother does. That's possible. And would protect her daughter more than her mother would. I wonder, Dave. Do you think the school loves the little girl more than the mother does? Could be.
It could be, but I'm wondering if the school even thinks this is a bad thing. I mean, because they have no ethical base, why would a girl getting beat up even be considered wrong or bad?
Survival of the fittest.
Well, of course. Perhaps this, in their eyes, was a good thing. This is an experience that everyone should have.
Here's another story from Denver. A mother was sentenced just this morning. I caught this in the newspaper. She was sentenced for 30 years. For supplying sex, drugs, and alcohol to a bunch of teenage boys.
So now she'll supply it to prison guards.
I guess so. Well, in 20 years, she'd be elected president.
Well, in 10 years, she'd be president of the NEA.
That's true. So exactly how is this different from Planned Parenthood? She supplied sex, drugs, and alcohol to a bunch of teenage boys. I guess that is a little different from Planned Parenthood. They just supplied sex.
Well, and they supplied drugs that kill babies, and the difference is that Planned Parenthood profits off of it.
Yeah.
So for Planned Parenthood, it's commerce. For this woman, it was just
a
recreation.
It was a party. Mm-hmm. Well, the simple fact, folks, is that parents do not love their children as much today as they did in 1950. And it's come as a shock to some of you, but you got to just admit it. Less parents love their children today than they did in 1950. 36% of children are born without fathers, up from 5% 40 years ago. And 64% of children under 6 are now latchkey. They live without mothers, at least a good part of the day. And that's up from 5% 80 years ago. There are less parents today, by a long shot, that love their children. And this message is tough, I think, for anybody listening right now who has children. It's tough for me because I've had to come to the conclusion that I do not love my children as I ought to. And isn't it funny that the people who are closest to you are the hardest to love? That's the topic today on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. We'll be back. The people that are hardest to love. Next on Generations. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. This is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. And isn't it interesting that the people that are hardest to love are those that are in your own life? And, you know, I was listening to a tape from an education conference several weeks ago, and this guy was encouraging mothers who homeschool to teach other people's children, because his rationale was this. He says, you will put more effort into teaching other people's children. He says, you're going to be nicer with other people's children. You'll seldom yell at other people's children. Isn't it interesting that it is very difficult to love the people that are closest to you? And who's the person that's closest to you but your own spouse? And then your children. These people are hard to love. Why is that, do you think?
I think they're hard to love because they, more than anyone else, have access to the tender parts of your heart. They can hurt you the deepest and the most profoundly.
Yes, indeed. In fact, you are most vulnerable to those who are closest to you. And so what happens, I think, in relationship, Dave, is there's a constant pulling back and drawing near. If there's an attraction and a repulsion that happens in relationship, we are attracted to each other because we are attracted to relationship, while we are repulsed because of the difficulties that come in, the vulnerabilities that are introduced when we love, when we are, you know, there next to each other and we are challenged to love each other. You know, it's interesting, the Bible speaks again and again and again about the importance of loving those that are closest to you. Titus 2:4 is the famous passage where the elder ladies are supposed to teach the younger ladies to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You notice they're not encouraged to love the orphans out in Africa and to love everybody else in the whole world generically. But you're to love those that are intimately involved in your life. Again and again in Scripture we have these examples. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Or Galatians 5:13, by love serve one another. 2 John 1, and now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. Or 1 Thessalonians 4:9, Paul, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write to you again, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. You know, it's the people in our lives that are closest to us that are the hardest to love. Our parents, our children, our spouses, and Dave, the people in our church. And you know the world's reaction to this is, we need to get away from each other. Divorce and the transiency of society. This is why people hop from church to church, Dave. This is why people hop from relationship to relationship. This is why divorce is so prevalent. People cannot love those that are close to them.
It seems that the world looks at relationship more in a financial sense, perhaps even in a Marxist way, where commerce and dollars is the most important commodity in a relationship. And yet, the Bible talks about sacrifice as being the most important commodity, the sacrifice of ourselves. And so when somebody gets a divorce, you know, they argue over money and property, and yet the thing that lasts the longest is the pain of somebody giving themselves. And it is almost irreparable in a divorce situation. People go through years and years and years with deep scars because they gave of themselves to somebody they trusted and they were betrayed.
And that's very difficult to get over, but love involves sacrifice. And of course, the modern world sees love as a second-rate emotion. But it's not a second-rate emotion. I think that was a song, wasn't that?
Yeah, I think Tina Turner, the philosopher, put that out.
Okay. A second-rate emotion, but it's not. It's an act of the will. It's an act of sacrifice. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus being the example of that. So if we can condition ourselves to the fact that love is sacrifice. Sacrifice every day, Dave. And I think even among husbands, sometimes we have a hard time speaking to our wives. We could talk to anybody else at the office for hours on end. We could spend a lunchtime speaking for 45 minutes to our friends at work. But to come home and speak to our wives about the important things of life, the things that are near and dear to them, the things that could produce conflict between ourselves, is something sometimes we don't want to sacrifice to do something like that. But see, these are the daily sacrifices God calls us to.
Well, let's face it, with our wives and our children, people who are close to us, they've seen us when we're not at our best, when we haven't put on our business suit, when we've gotten up in the morning and our hair's messy and our breath is bad and we got one eye halfway open, and we're not the lucid, brilliant person that the rest of the world might think we are. Our family knows us for who we are. Our children know that we're sinners, Kevin, and they can call us on it at any time because they've seen it.
You bet, Dave. And, you know, I speak all over the world, all over the nation. And when I go speak to an audience of 500 to 1,000 somewhere else in some other state, they all love the message and they are impacted by it. And they think that I'm the greatest guy in the world for about an hour and a half. And, you know, you get a bunch of high fives and all of that. But, you know, you come home and you live with your family and you talk, you teach your own church, and they know you. They know your faults. They know your sins. They know you're not perfect. It's a lot more difficult to speak to your own people. And the fact of the matter is, we only have two options when we come close to those that are with us. We either humble ourselves, acknowledge our own weaknesses, and repent of those weaknesses, confess our faults one to another. Just be open with it. Say, this is who I am. Or we can pull away. And that happens, I think, to a lot of people in relationship. They're constantly pulling away. They provide distance. They send their children away from the home. They work away from the home. They seek a career away from their husbands, and so the home becomes a place where you eat and have sex, and that's about it.
You know, the world looks at relationships from the lens of needs. You need to meet my needs. I need to meet your needs. This is the commodity that we exchange in a relationship. But the Bible knows nothing about going in a relationship to have your needs met. It's about sacrifice. It's about meeting the other person's needs. It's about serving them, and it's about edifying them. 1 Corinthians 13 has a wonderful description of love, but the words there, they're difficult words. They're words like long-suffering in the King James. You suffer in this relationship, but you only can suffer if you are hooked to the one who suffered for you. If you're in real relationship with Christ and his sufferings, then that suffering is not only bearable, but it is a true privilege to do in his name.
And if you are in relationship with the one who sacrificed for us, then you're willing to make that sacrifice. You're willing to take that step and open yourself up to the potential pain that you will receive. And you always do from your children or from your spouse. You do receive some painful stuff sometimes. You're willing to open yourself up for that and sacrifice for them because they're worth it.
In relationships, much like in exercise, no pain, no gain. Until you have had to forgive a brother, you haven't really grown that close in love. Until you've overcome sin one to another, you really aren't growing in unity. And so it's those opportunities for fellowship that come out of conflict, that come out of the pain, that grow us closer together. Why are soldiers, when they come back from war, why are they so close together? I submit to you, it's because they have endured great pain together.
The other thing about relationship, Dave, is that when you bring people close to you, I think there's an honesty that surfaces there. It has to be. Distance doesn't allow for honesty, but when you are close to each other, there's an honesty about each other that begins to develop, and sometimes that's hard to face. When I came back into my children's lives and I began to disciple them, they began to become a mirror to me. They, you know, I'd see things in them that really reflected who I was. And that was really tough because I came to the realization that there were some things I needed to repent of. And if I didn't repent of them, I couldn't expect my children to repent of these sins.
It's amazing that children not only reflect our weaknesses, they sometimes magnify them in our eyes. And so one of the great ways to drive yourself to repentance is have some children, spend a lot of time with them, and see how selfish you are.
The people who are hardest to love, they are the ones closest to you, your brothers and sisters, your parents, your spouse, your children. your church members. These are the ones who are hardest to love. I want to encourage you folks to wade in on it. Cultivate the horizontal relationships. Take those risks. Get closer. Grow closer. Open yourself up for the pain. Don't push away from each other in your family or your church. As you cultivate the horizontal, you will find rich, rich blessings in the vertical, in that relationship with God. Love one another, and you will understand the love of God. This is the gospel. We'll be back in just a moment. My name is Kevin Swanson, and the program is Generations. It's a relevant program in a day without relationships. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations, and today we are discussing the end of relationships in America. 36% of children are born without fathers. They have no relationship with their fathers at birth. And many, many more have zero relationship or next to zero relationship later on in life. 64% of children under 6 are now latchkey, up from 5% 80 years ago. No relationship. Their mothers are walking away earlier and earlier. They are being abandoned by their mothers and fathers very early on in their lives. No relationship. In school, we have a different teacher every year, or sometimes even in every classroom. No relationship. Many people have a different church every 2 years. No relationships. Corporations move us every year or two or three. Again, no relationships. There is almost no value in relationships in the worldview that runs your world today. My challenge to you right now is to revive relationship. Revive a relationship horizontally, that is, between your brothers and sisters in Christ, between your family members, certainly between your spouse and yourself. Revive the concept of relationship horizontally, and you will find that you will have a revival in the vertical relationship with God Himself. Dave, the fact that we have turned away from relationship with our children, with our families, is really indicative of the fact that we have turned away from relationship with God. That's the real issue here. God is relational. He's been relational from the beginning. And yet we've turned away from that, Dave.
You know, I can't help but thinking on the words that close out the Old Testament, that it's when the hearts of the fathers are turned to their children, and the hearts of the children are turned to the fathers, that God will bring a blessing to the land. And if it doesn't happen, He will strike the land with a curse. And I believe that we are living that curse in the divorce rate, in latchkey children, in children without fathers, in broken relationships, in business, in church, and in home. I think that curse is upon us.
Ladies and gentlemen, mothers and fathers, do your hearts yearn for relationship? Do you sense the coldness of the world without relationship? Do you want relationship? Let me encourage you to go back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the love that God showed and manifested to us. It's the love of sacrifice on the cross. Receive that salvation. And then revive relationship. Wade in. Forgive one another. Love one another. Give yourself up for one another. Don't turn away from relationship again and again. By the way you do your business. By the way you do your home. Even the way people do their entertainment, we see a lack of relationship. Close families today watch the same television program, but they don't communicate. Your average family, well, they all have their own television in their own rooms so they can watch their own program. There is no relationship. Let's revive relationship. Let's revive love, real love. Here's a book that I think could be very helpful to you. It really enlightened me in this area of relationship and the way that we have lost it in our education, in our business, and the way that we do our homes. The book is called Safely Home by Tom Eldridge. Just a short little book, about 100 pages, but wow.
It packs a punch. You'll enjoy this book, Safely Home, by Tom Eldridge. You can get it by calling 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK or checkbooks.com on the web, checkbooks.com. Folks, you can interact with this program by emailing me, kevin@check.org. That's kevin@check.org. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.